Ayes to Prabhas. We're doing texts 43 and 44 today. 43. Naham Tavangre Kanavam. Shanardham Api Keshava. Chaktum Samutsahenata. Swadhama Nayamamapi. Naham Tavangre Kamalam. Shanardam Api Shikeshava. Chaktum Samutsahenata. Swadhama Nayamamapi. Naham Tavangre Kanavam. Shanardam Api Keshava. Chaktum Samutsahenata. Swadhama Nayamamapi. Oops. Disciples of Srila Prabhupada. O Lord Keshava, my dear master, I cannot tolerate giving up your lotus feet even for a fraction of a moment. I urge you to take me along with you to your own abode. Purport. Uddhava understood that Krishna was going to withdraw the Yadu dynasty, and thus he begged the Lord to take him along to the Lord's abode. He had no desire to merge into Krishna's impersonal effulgence. Instead, he wanted to go to the Lord's spiritual abode and continue associating with Krishna as his dearmost friend. Krishna is the personality of Godhead and can do whatever he likes. But the devotee begs the Lord for the chance to serve him. Although the Lord manifests within the material world his various abodes, such as Vrindavan, Dwarka, and Mathura, you know, they are certainly non-different from their counterparts in the spiritual world. The most advanced devotees, overwhelmed with desire to personally serve the Lord, are very eager to go to the Lord's original spiritual planet. As stated by Lord Kapila in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Pure devotees have no desire for liberation. Because of their eagerness to render service, they urge the Lord to appear before them. The six Goswamis, due to their intense eagerness to serve Radha and Krishna, urgently searched after them, calling out their names in the forests of Vrindavan. Similarly, Uddhava is urging the Lord to take him to his own abode, so that Uddhava's personal service to the Lord's lotus feet will not be interrupted even for a moment. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has pointed out that an immature conditioned soul thinks Lord Krishna is an ordinary jiva soul engaged in material activities, and is thus unable to protect his own dynasty from the curse of the Brahmins. Uddhava's statement corrects such unfortunate persons. It is Lord Krishna himself who awarded pious living entities birth in brahminical families, and then Lord Krishna further awarded them the potency to curse his dynasty. And finally, Lord Krishna personally kept the curse intact, although he was capable of neutralizing it. Therefore, in the beginning, middle, and end, directly and indirectly, in the past, present, and future, Lord Krishna is the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, and he is completely transcendental to even the slightest touch of material illusion or impotence. So I think we're supposed to do text 44 as well. Let's read it. Tava vakritatam krishna nirinam paramamangalam karna piyushan asadya tijantyanya spriham jana. O my dear Krishna, your pastimes are supremely auspicious for mankind and are an intoxicating beverage for the ears. Tasting such pastimes, people forget their desire for other things. Purport, anya spriham, or desire for things other than Krishna, indicates the material desire to enjoy wife, children, money, and so on. Ultimately, the materialist may desire religious salvation for his personal comfort and satisfaction. But all such desires are mundane, because on the spiritual platform, the pure soul thinks only of the Lord's pleasure and the Lord's service. Therefore, a pure devotee can never give up Krishna, even for a moment, although for Krishna's pleasure, he can give up the entire universe. Om Gyan Himran Nishaganan Jana Salakaya Chakshu Vitamina Tasma Shri Gurve Maha Manchi Kopa Trivishcha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitano Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Namuna Maha Jaya Prabhupada. So, very nice to be back here in Alachua after our long trip to India for the GVC meetings, which save those for another time, another day. And we'll concentrate on the Srimad Bhagavatam here. We're seeing the situation of the pure devotee, a great devotee like Uddhava, who is in this very strong state of a constant desire to be with Krishna, knowing that the Mashala Leela, the last final pastimes of Krishna coming, and the destruction of the Yadu dynasty and Krishna's separation being imminent. Uddhava is very much feeling this pain of separation from Krishna, and he's asking to go back to return with him. He wants to go back to Goloka with Krishna, which of course he will. So we see it's mentioned also in this purport, this example of great devotees who are always wanting to have the association of Krishna, and they're feeling separation in the absence of that connection with Krishna. So the example is given to six Goswamis who were calling for God and Krishna in the forests of Vrindavan. And of course, the gopis themselves explain, and Radharani explain, the extreme state of Vipralamba, or separation. So we see that example. And of course, the Lord Chaitanya himself, who was in the mood of Radharani, was constantly in this mood of separation. Where is Krishna? Where is Radha and Krishna? And of course, in the Shikshastakam, Lord Chaitanya says, "O Govinda, feeling your separation and considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and feeling all vacant in the world in your absence." So this is the mood of Lord Chaitanya, the mood of the great devotees, the mood of a personality such as Uddhava. So one of the first questions I had after reading this is, how does this apply to me? To a conditioned soul, very neophyte devotee in this material world, And we're hearing these exalted pastimes and exalted moods of the devotees. So the question might be, should we try to emulate or strive for that mood, to be in that same mood? If not, what do we learn from these examples? It's also very good to be back, as I got quite ill in India, so I hope my voice holds out. The rest of this class, bear with me. There's different levels of understanding the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam. First, there's the appreciation of the pastimes themselves. Then there's the philosophical knowledge or lessons that are embedded within the pastimes of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we see practical application to our lives. And those practical applications are sometimes given in the Bhagavatam, but often given in the commentaries by the Acharyas in the different purports of Srila Prabhupada. Particularly, he taught us how to apply Krishna consciousness in his Bhagavatam purports, in his lectures, in his darshans, and his walks, room conversations. In so many ways, Srila Prabhupada was continually teaching us how do we apply the Srimad Bhagavatam as new devotees? How do we use these principles, these lessons, and understand these pastimes in such a way to make spiritual advancement? So I think this is an important issue to look at. I'll go into these a little bit more. But I was thinking these fundamentals of appreciation of pastimes, the philosophical knowledge, practical application, and how Prabhupada taught us in this way is actually an element of all good teaching. Any type of teaching practice will often have these elements in them. So you often see there's a pure theory or concept, and then you work with that concept, and then often the teacher or the instructor or the book will have you apply concepts to real-world examples. Remember story problems, you know, they always had? In other words, like in math, they would teach you a theory, you would work with a little bit, then there would be some story problem about how if Bob had 47 of these and Joe had 62, bricks, and they put them all together and they divided them in half, but then somebody else, anyway. It usually became complicated. You wonder, how is this really a real world example? But at any rate, I was thinking the other day, as an example of this, my granddaughter was working with Pi in her math problems. And I was thinking, well, have I ever used this since high school geometry 50 years ago? And I think actually I did once, I was thinking, you teach the concept of pi, which is, diameter of a circle times pi, which is 3.1416, equals the circumference. And so you might work with those. If you have a diameter that's a circle that's 6 inches, what would be the circumference? And you might do that. But then you want to be able to apply that. How do you use this? I can think of one time when I actually used this. I had to put a fence around some plants. I wanted to do a circular fence, and I wanted the fence to be about 4 feet across. So I had to know how much fencing to get, right? So I had to know 4 times pi, which is 3.14, a little over 12, so about 13, feet of fence would be needed to go around these plants. I need to fence off. And that's the only time I've used some of these geometric principles in my life, I think, but at least there was one. Now, hopefully the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us a little bit more direct and more important application to all aspects of our lives. And that's what we see as we read through these different pastimes of the Bhagavatam. If we kind of break down those levels again, first of all, we just appreciate the pastimes. Krishna's activities are there. They attract the mind and the heart of the living entity to Krishna when we see Krishna interacting with his great devotees, with Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd boys, the gopis. They're just very attractive in themselves. And for the living entity, it's like it's reawakening, a little something way back there, because ultimately we were all originally with Krishna. And so sometimes these pastimes serve to heighten that attraction or redevelop that attraction that we have. But we also see throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam that there's philosophical concepts and lessons that are embedded throughout them, right? You'll be going along with a concept and then somebody stops and they speak 2 or 3 verses, glorifying Krishna, talking about how things are working in the material world. So this is constantly out throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. I was thinking once, gosh, we've been on this for so long. I guess it was a couple of years ago when we were in the 10th canto reading about the Shamatapa jewel and remember Akura and the murderer. It was a real intrigue. It's several chapters, and it's a fascinating story. It's like a It's like a, some kind of like suspense or mystery novel almost. Everything goes on. You know, starting out with a fight with Jambavan?
Jambavan.
Yeah, starting, you know, and all that, and it goes on, and finally getting the Shamataka jewel back. But I was noticing that when we were covering that, like every two or three verses, the story would be interrupted by some philosophical point, and it'd be a lesson, you know, which is good because as a speaker, it gave us something to talk about, you know, how to actually use some of these concepts. So in today's verses, in the verses that we've been reading, you know, we have the story of Uddhava and how he's approaching Krishna, and Krishna's wrapping up his pastimes on this earth. But also, we have the lessons. In today's lesson, we are learning about the mood of pure devotion and the mood of the feeling of separation of these great devotees. How a devotee like Uddhava or other devotees like the gopis and the six Goswamis, how they're constantly striving to want to be with Krishna every moment, and when they're not with Krishna, they're feeling that vipralamba, that separation. So, you know, there's all these lessons and details of our philosophy. And you go, why do we need to hear all these things? Sometimes, particularly, we get into areas of, you know, the cosmic manifestation and sort of complex areas of the philosophy. And so, how do we use this? Well, first of all, we have to understand that just the effects of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, the spiritual sound vibration coming from the pure devotee and the pure spiritual literature, the Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat, is very purifying and eternally beneficial to the living entity. You know, clears the mind of all those misgivings in an artist from the past. And of course, it gives us transcendental knowledge of our spiritual nature. It satisfies that need for knowledge, of understanding. How are things working within this world, in the material and the spiritual world? And of course, to be able to preach to others, to tell others about this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, we need to know a certain level of detail of this philosophy, of how things work. We need to be able to explain this to people. And probably one of the most important things is that the mind and the intelligence need to be convinced. The mind can be our best friend, but is often our worst enemy. And so the mind will think so many things and have so many conceptions. So the mind intelligence need to be convinced by this deep philosophical rendering of the Srimad Bhagavatam, these purports and everything else, really convince us that this is the absolute truth. This is the real understanding of all things, both material and spiritual. So we get to the application now. This desire to always be with Krishna. Well, how do we manifest that desire to always be with Krishna? Or do we? Well, hopefully we do to some degree. One point I was thinking of this idea of separation. Is this applied to us? Or is this only something that applies to the exalted devotees or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu feeling separation of Krishna's 12 years or more? But actually it's described that this vipralamba, there's four different types of vipralamba mentioned in the Nectar Devotion and Chaitanya Charitamrita. I don't understand them very well, but they're there. But there's another type of separation called purvaraga, which is the feeling of separation before meeting. One simply hears about Krishna, knows about Krishna, and is feeling that separation of Krishna. And the best example in the Bhagavatam would be, any names coming to mind? Rukmini. Rukmini. She was exhibiting. She'd never seen Krishna, right? But she heard about Krishna. Of course, she's Krishna's eternal consort. But she heard about Krishna and wanted, and was so much in separation, so much wanting to be with Krishna, so much wanting Krishna to come and to save her and to go take her off and marry her. She had this total love for Krishna just by hearing about him. So in the same way, we're not exactly on that stage. I'm not saying that we're in the stage of purvaraga, but it's kind of analogous. That we do have some desire to know Krishna, to see Krishna, to go back to Godhead, to go back to Krishna, even though, you know, we probably, some of you may have, but probably most of us have not seen Krishna face to face, you know, in that way of the pure devotee does, where Krishna's there before them. But nevertheless, we have some desire towards Krishna, otherwise we wouldn't be here in this room, being as devotees of the Lord, wanting to see the Lord, wanting to hear about the Lord, chant the Lord's holy names. So we heard about Krishna. We heard about Krishna from the books, from Srila Prabhupada, from other devotees, and somehow that developed some desire Some reawakening of our dormant love for Krishna began to develop in our hearts. Isn't it true? Why is it that we enjoy sitting and reading Krishna book? If we don't have something within our heart that's attracted to Krishna, right? There's some attraction. Doesn't mean we fully understand Krishna or even fully understand the pastimes and their meaning, but there is some attraction that's beginning to develop. And so we know that our mission in life is to go back to Godhead and to bring other conditioned souls. And so somehow we understand that, perhaps even without direct experience. This is a kind of an interesting lecture. Srila Prabhupada talked about this a little bit. I was trying to find some substantiation or something where Prabhupada talked about this. This is the best I could find. This is a lecture in London, 1971. Prabhupada said, so we have to follow the footprints of the Goswamis. How to search out Krishna and Radharani in Vrindavan or within your heart. That is the process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bhajan. Feeling of separation, Vipralamba, Vipralamba Seva. This process of devotional service is taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not that very, very easily, we have seen Krishna, Radharani, and Rasalila. No, not like that. No, it's not so easy thing. He says, feel the separation. The more you feel separation from Krishna, you should understand that you are advancing. Don't try to see Krishna artificially. Be advanced in separation feeling, and then it will be perfect. That is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. So if we're feeling, I'm not really seeing Krishna or experiencing Krishna, promising that's a good feeling. Cultivate that. Cultivate that desire to see Krishna and feel like, I wish I could see Krishna. I'm not seeing Krishna. In other words, that's separation. It's not the exalted stage of separation of the gopis, but it is a type of separation. Prabhupada is saying, we should cultivate that feeling, because it is the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not one of union, but one of vipralamba, of separation. So the devotee develops that, and Prabhupada says the more you develop that sense of separation or desire for Krishna, to serve Krishna, to be with Krishna, to hear about Krishna, the more we advance in Krishna consciousness. And then I think in that same lecture, he quoted the famous quote by his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, don't try to see Krishna, but let Krishna see you by your service. Let Krishna see you by your service. So that's our process. So he's thinking, how does this apply to us, being connected with Krishna, how to be with Krishna? We're with Krishna through devotional service, through bhakti. That's our process. We begin with this process of sadhana, with bhakti. This is a very important one sentence from a purport to Bhagavad Gita 10.9, one of the famous Tatra Shlokas. Prabhupada says, in the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish transcendental pleasure from the service itself. And the mature stage, they're actually situated in love of Godhead. So in the beginning stage, one gets in, and Prabhupada says, gets transcendental pleasure. That says you got to grind it out, you got to do that service for a couple lifetimes until you finally, you can finally start enjoying something of the spiritual world. No, right from the beginning, the process of service one gains transcendental pleasure from. And that is how the devotee stays connected with Krishna. That is how we have our relationships, through our service. And when you think about it, Uddhava can constantly think about Krishna all day. Perhaps we can't, but we can be engaged in our service all day. And we can think about our service and we can meditate on that. And we can meditate upon how to do our service better, or what we need to do. And that is Krishna consciousness. And that establishes our connection with Krishna. Somebody just asked me, actually, I think it was in Mayapur, I gave class there, and you always get this line up afterwards, because you're somebody new they haven't seen yet. One of the questions somebody was asking me, they said, I have a job, I work all day, and it's really hard to think of Krishna and think of Krishna in my service, throughout the day. And that's a very common thing. Many people may have find us in that situation. But I was thinking of something, and I told him something Srila Prabhupada said, that if you chant your 16 rounds and you do your sadhana in the morning, then everything you do during the day is Krishna conscious. Now you may not always see the direct connection, but the fact of the matter is you are in the mood of devotional service. You are establishing yourself in bhakti. You establish yourself in the internal potency of bhakti by the process of following the instructions of the spiritual master, following the regular principles, chanting 16 rounds, doing our morning sadhana. And then, Prabhupada says, everything you do during the day is Krishna consciousness, it's devotional service. You know, and then I said, and of course, secondarily, you can think about how your service, how what you're doing during the day really is service. I said, I imagine you're supporting the family. He goes, yes. And you're trying to raise your family to be Krishna conscious devotees. He says, yes. And you have to make money for those devotees that you're maintaining. He says, yes. And I said, you probably give a little something to the temple or to some project. He says, yes. I said, so there's no problem. You're situated rightly in Krishna consciousness. You know, so in other words, we may be a couple steps back from the pure meditation on Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's lotus feet, 24 hours a day, like that. But we still can be rightly situated in that process of coming closer and closer to Krishna. So, for us, practical service is how we establish connection, Sambandha. And in the Bhakti Samrita Sindhu 1.1.11, Jiva Goswami describes the two forms of bhakti. He calls Bhava Rupa, which is the emotional form of bhakti, when that comes about in the stage of bhava. So we can kind of put that over here maybe a little bit for a future day. And he said, but the active form is called Chaista Rupa Bhakti. The active form is the using the body, the words, and the mind to serve Krishna. So devotional service begins with a practical engagement of the senses. We hear this all the time. You know, but it's actually true. We have to remember, we practically engage the senses in devotional service. That's Chaista Rupa Bhakti. That's our form. And Srila Prabhupada always emphasized activity in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada had us working very hard. And he had high expectations. And of course, he knew we had all sorts of passionate youthful energy. And if that passionate youthful energy was not well applied, it would be applied to all sorts of materialistic activities, thoughts, and behaviors. So, yes, Prabhupada was very, very, not only was he very insistent upon practical activity, actually a good quote from him from the Nectar of Instruction, he says, the execution of devotional service is not a matter of idle meditation, but practical action in the foreground of spiritual life. So Prabhupada knew not only was that the way to keep us busy and our minds occupied, but it was the process of making spiritual advancement. Yukta Vairagya, it is our process of engaging the mind, the senses, the intelligence, the body, the words, everything in Krishna's service, keeping all of those senses and the subtle gross body occupied, connecting with Krishna so that they become purified and we become purified and come closer and closer to Krishna. So going back to the purport of Bhagavad Gita 10.9, Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of the living entity. And he goes through explaining the whole Bhakti Lata Bij, how that seed, you know, that seed of the Bhakti Lata, the creeper of devotional service grows and goes through all the coverings of the universe and goes to the topmost stage of Goloka Vrindavan. So, if we perform sadhana bhakti in this mood of separation, I'm not really seeing Krishna yet, but I'm hoping someday that I will be able to see Krishna, and even if I can't see Krishna, at least I'll be serving Krishna in some capacity, serving Srila Prabhupada. One day Krishna will appear. It will happen. But we have to have some desire to advance and be with Krishna. Prabhupada so often talked about desire. Desire is kind of the heart of the consciousness of the living entity, which propels us towards further in engagement, entrapment, connection within this material energy, or brings us out of this material energy, connecting with Krishna and the spiritual world. So, of course, the desire is the free will of the living entity. The living entity has minute amounts of free will, just as Krishna has free will. and that free will is manifested through our desire. Our desire to be Krishna conscious, our desire to stay in this material world, our desire to serve Krishna, our desire to try to be Krishna ourselves, to be the Lord and the Master. The desire to seek relationship and love, as I say, in all the wrong places, this material world, or to our desire to try to reestablish our loving relationship with Krishna. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, I had this quote, and I'm sorry, I don't know where it was from. I think it was in a purport of 325-25. Vishnu says, and I may be wrong on that, he says, the sincere devotee has more determination toward bhakti than inclination for material things. Okay? We have both. We have an inclination in material, and we have some determination towards bhakti. And if the scale is overweighted towards that determination towards bhakti, you're classified as sincere. Okay? So, if you feel that's a little bit shaky, then you need to work on that a little bit to tip the balance. You know, in law, there's different degrees of evidence. You know, they're used in civil, criminal trials, civil, things like that. And one of the ones is called the preponderance of evidence. Am I right in this? It's 50, like it's majority. The preponderance of majority evidence is one level of acceptance of, you know, deciding one way or the other way. So the preponderance of evidence is like 51%. So we need to have at least that 51%, that preponderance of determination towards bhakti, a little higher than our inclination towards material. So, if we're finding that's a little close sometimes, or tipped a little the other side, then we need to work on this. It really comes down to the basic processes. Material desires are destroyed through the process of sadhana, but in good association. Oh, this is 325-25. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is free, and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begins. So it starts with association, sadhusanga, of pure devotees, starts with our association with Srila Prabhupada, and then we advance on the path. So, Prabhupada created the Vaiskanda Society for seven purposes that we know. And one of those very important purposes is a place for the association of devotees. A place for the devotees to come together to associate and advance in Krishna consciousness. Through that association, that beginning seed of devotional service and the bhakti lata bhish, the creeper devotional service will grow and flourish. So for devotees, we need to seek out association, and particularly seek out advanced association that is in line with Srila Prabhupada's teachings. If we follow Srila Prabhupada and we follow the followers of Srila Prabhupada, we're following him closely, we can't go wrong. So the importance of sadhu sangha is there, devotees coming together to hear and chant, that strengthens that determination in bhakti, and strengthens our attachment to devotional service, which is our connection to seeing Krishna, to be able to be with Krishna, and to develop our love for Krishna. Okay? Stop at that point, and see if there's some discussion. Okay. Frank Govinda, or Dharmaraj, I guess has the microphone.
When you were discussing about the body, who talked about his days, hard work, and all of that, I remembered a story that I wanted. This is when I was a student back in Diana many years ago. We were cultivating one family, husband, wife, maybe one or two kids.
Yeah.
And his occupation was that he was a fisherman. He had his own fishing boat, and that's the livelihood. So he started practicing Krishna consciousness, and Everybody there, you know, they have their houses are like two stories. So downstairs when you go inside, the fish and shrimp and all that kind of smell. And then you go upstairs, it's like Slatwick, you know, he and his family, they are vegetarians, they're worshipping, we have pictures of the Lord Chaitanya. So then, you know, we talked about, okay, you know, to start giving up this job. So he agreed and he's tried to do something else, but he has no education. And he tried to do something else, and he said it was very frustrating for him because he can't, when you go, and in those days in Guyana, when one becomes a devotee, it's like you're like a mocking stock in the eyes of the commies. They will try to break your enthusiasm, trying to, you know, influence you around different ways, shapes, or forms. So it was so difficult being a monk, trying to work with other people and so forth. And it was distracting him from his Krishna consciousness. So he decided that he's going to go back to his fishing job. He said that he was very peaceful because he does his catch with his boat, sells it, and by 11 or 12 in the day they'll finish, and all day long they're chanting their rounds and they're associating the devotees and do whatever else. So it was kind of a strange situation, but he said he was so very peaceful in that way. And whenever he tried to give it up, it was so difficult. So many times, they try to ask us what to do, or people come and ask us at the temple, well, how can this person act in that way? And at that time, we were kind of confused. We said, well, the only thing I can see is probably Krishna has some hands in this, because they are such nice devotees when they're acting in this capacity, and when they try to do otherwise, things doesn't work well. So just want to share that was kind of strange.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you handle it the best you could and try to preach to them. And, you know, that's a lot of times I think where sincerity in prayer becomes very important. And sometimes, you know, if someone's finding themselves in a very difficult situation like that and they don't seem to have a good alternative, and, you know, it's, again, just sincerely praying to Krishna. You know, somehow or another, please help me in this situation. And, you know, hopefully Krishna will make some arrangement for him, work something out. Those things are very hard for us to come in and, you know, externally try to get somebody to make those kind of changes. Doesn't it seem like it often just has to come from a person within their heart and Krishna making the arrangements? And often it happens. I mean, you do see it happens often that people find ways that they're, you know, it's like one thing to give up, you know, eating fish, but another thing, that's your entire livelihood. I mean, you don't know anything else, probably since childhood. Yeah, it's a hard situation, and I'm glad to hear that it seems like you were all very tolerant with him, and you tried to really encourage him, not just tell him what a demon he was or something. What was there any result that he was able to give it up?
At that point, that's when I left Diana.
That's when you left Diana. Okay. All right. Pangadipu.
Appreciating your total importance of separation that even Prabhupada promoted for the Lord as a devotee. It reminded me of, I was reading Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. His lectures is called Patravali on Srila Gaur Vishwadhar Babaji's appearance day. He's the one who composed his Pranam Mantra. Namagoro Kishuraya Sakshat Viragamurte Vipralambara Sambhati Padam Bhujaya Tena.
What, my friend Antakar?
Is that Bhishiddhan Sutra?
That's the one to compose those. Okay, yeah.
So, after this happened after 1915. 1914, his both guru left, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then 1918 he took sannyas, and then he gave that lecture in the Srila Gaur Vishwadhar Babaji's appearance day. And he quoted that, he was addressing to his disciple, you all should have these two visible function in your day-to-day daily life. One is constant aware, what can I do to bring pleasure to Guru Krishna? You have to constantly think, contemplate, what can I do right now to bring pleasure to Guru Krishna, and what can I avoid or give up that will bring pleasure to Guru Krishna. Mm-hmm. If you do these two things, then you will develop a tremendous attachment towards their lotus feet. And that attachment will cause you feel separation. Do not practice artificially union or separation. Develop attachment to self.
Mm-hmm.
And that attachment will naturally produce separation feeling. And that will lead you ultimate union with the Lord.
Well, thank you. That's a very nice sort of confirmation. It kind of pulls together some of the points you're making. Yeah, don't artificially try for the smooth separation, but become attached to your service, and then that will develop.
Yeah.
Thank you. Nice. Anything on the ladies' side? Everyone's very quiet today. Janmashtami, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Welcome back, Prabhu.
Thank you.
I'm trying to remember, but there was once Prabhupada chanting that one of his godbrothers did spend his whole life, I think, he was a lawyer, and Prabhupada was kind of critiquing him for not contributing to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission. I may be wrong about that, but that's in there somewhere. So it seems to me that is also an element of the meditation. We may be restricted by our grihastha situation in actually contributing in major ways, but it seems that if we are thinking, now, what can I do for pushing in Prabhupada's mission? That's a very favorable aspect of our attempts to develop bhakti and gradually get to this point of attachment and feelings of separation. Any comments on that?
Well, that's the duty of the disciple, to further the mission of one's guru and to try to, as you say, to think about that, to meditate on that. And, it's we're very fortunate because, in one sense, the true Prabhupada left us, with such a legacy of instruction and, mission, what could we possibly do? I mean, you can just, there's dozens of things Srila Prabhupada established, so many areas of preaching, prasadam distribution, festivals, book distribution, on and on and on. You can go through and then sort of more elaborations and how to maybe apply some things different ways in the modern world. So we have unlimited scope for meditating on Srila Prabhupada's mission and instructions and how we can fit into that. And usually the best service for one to do, of course, is service is pleasing the spiritual master, but the service where one is probably most enthusiastic and determined in that service, where one feels strongly attached and develops that sense of attachment to the spiritual master and to his mission and ultimately to Krishna. Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Where else are we supposed to do the magic?